società, Shenzhen.
So each of us should know and study. There is a small text which is called the 20 precepts or 20 vows, and to make sure that we don't transgress any of the 18 root infraction, transgress any of the 18 root commitments, and also to be especially more kind of concerned about observing the commitment of not transgressing the commitment of observing the wrong view and giving up bodhicitta. 18 root infractions, you see the two called wrong view, holding wrong view, which implies trying to denigrate the existence of law of karma, trying to denigrate the existence of rebirth and so forth. So this includes the wrong view. And then the second one, relinquishing bodhicitta. So for these two, you don't need any other factor to make it complete. So simply by generating these two, so that in itself is the transgression of the bodhisattva vow in its root. As such, you should be very careful to make sure that you don't transgress these two commitments. Now back to the main text, main teaching. So in Shanti Deva's Bodhisattva Chara Avatara, you'll find a mention of explicit mention of the practice of patience of the two kinds, the patience to the patience to trying to keep even the harmful actions as neutral, and trying to then be patient with the kind of the enduring sufferings. Next, training in joyous effort or enthusiasm. So it is comprised of three divisions. The entity of joyous effort is subdivisions. How to generate joyous effort in one's continuum. In the Bodhisattva levels, it's explained to be mind. The joyous effort is explained as a mind that delights strongly for the sake of gathering virtue and enacting the welfare of sentient beings, as well as the actions of the three doors, motivated by it. So someone who is joyous in engaging in negative actions, so it is not classified as joyous effort, whereas those something should be joyous effort if there's a joy in enacting any kind of virtue. The divisions of joyous effort, armor-like joyous effort, the joyous effort of getting virtuous dharmas, joyous effort of enacting the welfare of sentient beings. So the third one, the joyous effort of enacting the welfare of sentient beings, would be those 11 points that we discussed yesterday. Next, how to generate joyous effort in one's continuum. So, for that, you have to know the advantages of taking joyous effort. So, because someone having a joyous effort, so to that person, there won't be anything which he or she would feel difficult. And whereas someone who is lacking this quality of joyous effort, even a small thing, he would definitely find it very difficult to undertake. So, although objectively, there would be something which is difficult as an object to engage in or to do. But primarily, that is the concept development of something is difficult to do is primarily dependent on a way of thinking. So then the text reads, there are two adverse circumstances to joyous effort, seeing that one is able to accomplish virtuous dharmas, but not engaging in them, and the discouragement that thinks, how could I ever accomplish anything like that? So there are actually two kinds of lazinesses. So one would be the laziness which has the tendency to delay something, to delay to do the job. And the other one are trying to generate the sense of complacency. And then it says, one postpones things till later, thinking, there is still time, and if not that, one is overcome by attachment to bad activities. So whereas, if when one really understands how precious this specific dharma is, and how precious this human birth is, so naturally, then you will have a sense of great loss of time if you waste even a minute. It is because of this that it will help in the laziness of procrastination. And in order to overcome laziness, so if you think about the law of causality of karma, and also the third kind of condition, the condition suffering, so then naturally the laziness will be overcome. Because to reflect on these two kind of points, so then we tend to see that whatever kind of virtues or the prosperity the world has, they seem to be so peripheral, so unreliable. Because of this, that you will not at all be drawn towards that or attached towards that, and naturally the laziness will be overcome then. And next, discouragement is also three. First, the discouragement that with respect to the objects to be attained, things, since the good qualities of a Buddha are limitless, I cannot attain them. And second, this discouragement that with respect to the method, things, since giving away my arms, legs, and the like is immensely difficult, I cannot accomplish it. So, with the first discouragement, they are thinking, oh, the good qualities of the Buddha are limitless, I cannot attain them. So, as a kind of remedy, you have to think about the Buddha nature that is present in oneself. And as said in the Uttara Tantra by Maitreya, that in terms of the ultimate nature of the mind of the Buddha and the ultimate nature of the mind of the ordinary sentient beings, so the only difference you see between them two is that one is temporarily defiled and the other one is freed from that. Otherwise, in terms of the nature, the two are exactly same. So in terms of the ultimate nature, there is no difference whatsoever between the ultimate nature of the mind of the Buddha and the ultimate nature of the mind of the sentient beings. And then also in terms of the conventional mind, so when we speak about the subtlest state of mind, that is the primordially existing subtle mind, the clear-eyed mind, from that perspective, again, the Buddhas are no different, or the sentient beings are no different from the Buddhas. And again, if you think of those great Buddhas, although they have tremendous, enormous amount of qualities, but these Buddhas, there had been times where they were following the path as a bodhisattvas or as just ordinary person. So So during those olden times, there were occasions where you had been a superior person, and then that person who is now the Buddha, Buddha Shakyamuni, so this tells us that even how all these great Bodhisattvas and the Buddhas, they had been a time where they were just ordinary beings, much worse than what we are now. And yet those ordinary beings, worse than we do, so they, through joyous effort, they now accomplish all these qualities and have become Buddha. So why can't we possibly achieve that state? Because if that person, so ordinary, so worse than us, can achieve that state of Buddhahood, so why can't we? And then in the Precious Garland by Nagarjuna, it speaks about how the what amount of merit is required to accomplish even a single part of the Buddha's qualities. And then despite seeing all these things about the how enormous merit is required to achieve these qualities, and yet in the end Nagarjuna said that and it said that that very state of the Buddhahood, which is so difficult to obtain, is something which can be obtained through employing a skillful method. Skillful method and with tremendous determination. So with such a tremendous determination and skillful means, you can actually accumulate, even in a single instant of time, accumulate enormous amount of merit required to accomplish those qualities of the Buddhas. So for example, if you take the instance of and in relation to the second discouragement, which says that, oh, since giving away my arms, legs, and the like is immensely difficult, I cannot accomplish it. So here, it is said that, so in the beginning level, you are not actually advised, you're actually discouraged from doing these actions of giving away of your arms, legs, and so forth, because these are not realistic, these are not practically occurring in the beginning people. So when you speak about generosity and so forth, it is primarily the mental state. And in terms of whether or not something is difficult to do, again, it is dependent on the subjective thinking. As such, through giving rigor to the way of your think, so gradually you can come, you'll arrive at a point whereby you would have the kind of courage, you would have a liking towards giving away even your arms, legs, and so forth. And whereas in the beginning it is still not encouraged to do these actions like giving away of arms, legs, and so forth. So they are very practical and scientific. So say, the Shravakas and the Pratyeka Buddhas, so those who aspire for personal, only for personal liberation. So although it is so amazing,